Morning and welcome again to Open Bible Podcast. I'm sitting down here this morning with my little daughter. So if you hear some sounds in the background, that's probably who it is. Now, today we're in... Yes, you got the ball. We're in Amos chapter 7. And we're going to learn something more about the heart of Amos and his humility. And we're going to learn something more about prayer today. So let's read Amos chapter 7. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, A plumb line. Then said the Lord, Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam the king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of all of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of his own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos, and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman, and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, Prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. And the Lord bless the reading of his word once again to our hearts. Now at the beginning of this chapter we see that the Lord brings to Amos three pictures. The first picture is of grasshoppers. And the grasshoppers come at the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth, and they devour the whole of it. But you see, this is a picture of judgment that was coming. Yet, here we see, as I said, the heart of Amos. For when Amos sees this picture of coming judgment, he cries unto the Lord. And Amos intercedes for his people. It's a very short prayer. He just says, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise, for he is small. That's all the prayer is. You could see in this prayer that there is a very simple supplication, a request. He's requesting the Lord to forgive his people. And then he gives the reason why the Lord should forgive his people. He says, because they're small, and who, by whom shall they arise? And you know, this very sincere, short, earnest prayer moves the Lord's heart. And in verse 3, we read the Lord repents of this. It shall not be. Judgment shall not come by this manner, by the manner of grasshoppers. There shall not be a famine in the land, in other words. And then the Lord shows Amos a second picture. And now this time it's fire that's going to come and devour the great deep, eat up a part of it. And again, as Amos sees the picture of this judgment coming, this judgment of fire, it moves him again to intercede for his people. And again, it's a very short prayer. Not this time forgive, but this time he asks the Lord to cease. O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. In other words, don't bring this judgment. Stop this. Stop, Lord, stop. Don't bring the judgment. And again, this very short, earnest, simple prayer moved the Lord's heart. And the Lord repented of this. And he said, it shall not be. And I will not come and destroy the people by fire. But then we see a third picture come. And now the Lord stands upon a wall with a plumb line in his hand. And this wall has been made by a plumb line. Now the plumb line is that piece of equipment, very simple, just with a piece of string with a stone at the bottom or something heavy, and you just hold it and it shows you an absolutely vertical line. And so here is a wall that has been made by a plumb line. In order, this wall is absolutely straight, absolutely vertical. There's no chinks, no curves. It's not leaning one way or the other. It's absolutely straight. And you see, this tells us something of the righteous standard of God. That the righteous standard of God is perfection. That's what the Lord Jesus says at the end of Matthew chapter 5, isn't it? You know, be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we think of that command in Peter's epistle, to be holy, be ye holy, even as God is holy. And so you see, God sets the standard for us. As God is, so he expects us to be holy and righteous and perfect. And this is the standard upon which all of us are going to be measured, this righteous standard of God. And as God, as the Lord sits before and sets this picture before Amos of the plumb line and this measurement, he says, I will not again pass any more by them. He has passed by them twice now. Judgment was coming, first by famine through the grasshoppers, then by fire. But the Lord, in his grace and in his mercy, he heard the supplications of Amos, and it moved him, and he passed by, and he did not offer, that judgment did not fall upon the people. But the Lord says, no more, Amos. Judgment is coming. I'm not going to pass by anymore. Because look at the plumb line. And look at the lives of the people. They are far from perfect. There is gross sin and immorality in the land, and it must be purged. And so here we see not only the righteousness and the holiness of God, but we also see his justice. That the justice must be done. And you know, that's in some ways a lovely thing. Although it also means that we are the people who are facing that judgment. But it's nice to know that God is a just God. And so Amos, the word of the Lord comes to Amos and says, I will destroy Israel, and all of their high places, their sanctuaries will be laid waste, And then he says, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. As you remember, Jonah had brought Jeroboam a prophecy that he would go out and extend the borders. Now Amos is bringing a prophecy that the Lord, the sword, is coming against Jeroboam. And you know, there's those two sides, isn't it, to the gospel message. At times there's a message of grace and love, that the Lord wants to bless us. But then there's the opposite side of the gospel message, of God's judgment. And that's the side that's not popular. People are happy to hear about God's love and His grace and His mercy, but to hear about His judgment and to hear about our sin, well, people don't want to talk about that. I remember talking to a man yesterday, in fact, and as I was talking to him and I started to talk to him about sin and judgment, he said, no, stop. He didn't want any talk of that. Now, you see, this is what we get here in verse 10 with this priest of Bethel, Amaziah. He's not a priest of the Lord in any real sense of the word. He's just a part of the elite. He's there to make Jeroboam the king feel good, and to say what is nice, to tickle the ears. There's that warning in the New Testament, isn't there, about those who would just seek to tickle the ears. But here's Amos coming and standing in Bethel and pronouncing judgment upon the land and pronouncing judgment upon the king. And Amaziah steps forward and he says, Amos has conspired against thee, Jeroboam, in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. He's creating mischief in the land. That's a little phrase that some Muslim countries like to use, creating mischief in the land. Well, this is really what Amaziah is accusing Amos of. This message is unwanted. We don't want to hear this message. And you know, there's the message of truth and the message of the gospel even in our day again. It is getting to that time and that era where the message of truth and the message of the gospel is not wanted. And Amaziah goes on and he says, you know, King, Amos has said that you're going to die by the sword and Israel shall be led away captive. So Amaziah is setting this out there, creating difficulty for Amos. And then he puts the pressure on Amos himself. And he says, Amos, go, flee to the land of Judah. And I like to see this here. I think that you could see the court scene. There's Jeroboam the second sitting on his throne. There's Amos has come in, that humble country prophet has come in to prophesy against Jeroboam. And there's Amaziah, the probably the well-dressed priest there in the court. And he's accusing Amos to Jeroboam. And then he's saying to Amos, go, flee away, take your prophecies and take yourself and go, and don't come here anymore. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to see you in the king's chapel, in the king's court. Now in verse 14, Amos, we see something of the humility of his heart. And he says, you know, Amaziah, he says, I was no prophet. I was no prophet's son. And really, I think that's a dig at Amaziah, you know. Amaziah likely grew up, his father was probably a priest there before him, and that's the way with priests, isn't it? It runs down the line, the line of the Levites. Amos says, look, it's not like that with me. I was nothing. I was not someone special in some special family with special education or anything like that. All I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And yet the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And he said, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now there's an encouraging thought there, isn't it, for all of us. It's lovely that the Lord will take anyone. He doesn't just look to those who are well educated or to anything like that, and seek only to use the kind of what we might call the best academically or anything like that. The Lord will use the people he wants to use. And what really matters is a heart to follow the Lord. and an ear to listen to his word, and a desire to put that into action. And that says the very simplicity of Amos. He says, look, the Lord said to me, go, and I went. The Lord said to me, prophesy, and I prophesied. And here you see the simple faith of Amos. He just took the Lord at his word and he went. And perhaps there's someone listening to this, and maybe you're hearing the Lord calling you and saying to you, go. You know, I was talking to a lady yesterday again, and she was saying, you know, in my part of Birmingham, there's hardly any churches at all now. I mean, good churches who will preach the Bible. And she maybe listed two in quite a wide area. She says, we need people here. We need people to come and share the gospel. And it's so true. And the Lord said to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up labourers. And that's the Great Commission, isn't it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, that's what happened to Amos. The Lord said to him, go. And he went. And then the chapter finishes with a final prophecy, not now against the land generally or Jeroboam and his household, but against Amaziah for his standing against the word of God, standing against Amos. And what a serious thing that is, to stand against the word of God. And Amos said to him, well, this is what's going to happen to you. Your wife will be a harlot, your sons and daughters will die by the sword, and you will die in a polluted land. You will get taken off as a captive. And what a dreadful judgment that fell upon that man Amaziah. A man who was only interested in hearing a well done from the king. Amos, on the other hand, he was more interested in hearing a well done from his God. And we trust that that will be the same for us, that we would seek just to be obedient to the Lord, to have a heart for the people, to pray for them, to intercede for them, but to be willing to speak the word to them as well, no matter the cost. And so we trust that the Lord will bless this lovely chapter to us as we've thought about it this morning. Thanks again for listening.